Like I said, today I'm filling in for John as he's preparing a feast. And I would just say that let's prepare a spiritual feast for us today so we can just feast on the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So I have been listening to a Bible teacher. Her name's Christy McClellan, and I love her teaching. She actually is associated with a church that Alyssa goes to in Nashville called Church of the City. So she's the one to introduce me to her teaching. So at night before bed, what I try to do is just relax before bed, put the teachings on, and go to sleep so that the last thing on my mind is the Word of God. And that truly helps me sleep better, to dwell on the Word right before bed. So this was a teaching that Christy did. So I'm just going to share with you, because she also said at the end of this teaching, don't be a lake and hold this in, but be a river and give it out. You know, when you hear a good word, you want to give it out, you want to share it. So I can't take credit for a lot of the stuff that's in this message, because it was taught to me by her. She was a person that studied in Israel. She studied and she teaches in a university in Israel. So a lot of the stuff that she does talks about the first century church and looking at Jesus through the lens of the first century, which has just been so enlightening to me and just so ministering to me, just listening to her. Another thing that this church does in their Bible studies is they call it SOAP. I don't know if you've ever heard of the acronym. But what they do is read the scripture, observe what the scripture says, apply it to your life, and then pray about it. So every night at the end of those Bible studies, it says to look at the scripture, observe, apply, and pray about it. So that's sort of what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the scripture, we're going to observe it, we're going to apply it, and then we're going to have prayer at the end. Whenever I was dating John, we took a class on Bible manners and customs. And honestly, whenever you study the Bible according to the manners and customs of the time, you start to see things that you never saw before, because you're looking at it through a different lens. You're looking at it through the lens of when it was written, for the time it was written. However, the Bible just transcends time, and we can still get information from the Word, even though it was written thousands of years ago, we still can apply it to our lives. So, you know, it's almost like when you're driving on a road and you drive on it every day, and then all of a sudden you see something and you thought, I never even paid attention that was there. Well, that's sort of how the Word is. And I'm going to be reading scriptures today that you've probably heard before, but you'll see something, as I did, that you've never seen before. So we're also going to do what's called yeshiva, which means to ponder and to process and to bite down on the things that you will be learning. So I want you to yeshiva, say that, yeshiva, which means you're going to ponder the Word this morning. So let's just ponder these words. The first scripture I'm going to share with you, this is not the main scripture of this message, but it's one I want you to think about, because we'll circle back to this. It's in the New International Version. It's Psalm 63:7. It's very simple. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Now just think about that. Ponder that. Think about what that scripture is saying. You can almost get a visual image of what that scripture says. So let's just set the table now for our feast. You know, whenever you look at something from a different culture, if you've ever traveled internationally, you start to see how different, yet how the same we are. When I first went to China and sat down at a meal in China, there was a bowl of water beside my dish. It was filled with water, a bowl, and I'm like, Do I dip my hand? Do I drink it? What do I do with the bowl? And I'm looking around, and no one else is doing anything with the bowl, so I didn't do anything with the bowl. I ask if I could have a glass of Bing Shui, which is ice water, and the waitress said no, very clear in English. And I'm like, no? Why? To only find out that in that culture, you drink hot water with every meal because it's better for your digestion. And you drink it after you eat, not during your meal, so that you get the nutrients from the food that you eat. So when you're in another culture, you start to learn the culture. Doing the same thing we were still eating, but there were so many things different. You use chopsticks with this thing that goes around with all the food, and everybody's double dipping. Well, we don't double dip in America. But the chops, I'm like, do we flip them over? Do we use the other side to take the food off and to flip it to eat? So you watch the culture. Different culture, different ways of doing things, different ways of eating. So now we're going to look at the culture of Jesus, totally different than our culture. And I was even finding out that there's even some more interesting things about the culture that I didn't even know about, and how they look at Scripture versus the way we look at Scriptures. There's an Eastern and a Western view of Scripture. And so many times we interpret everything from our Western view because we're not looking at the culture in which it was written. There's cultures in cities. Fortunately, John and I grew up in the same little town. We had the same culture. We understand things. So now let's look at the culture. Whenever I traveled to Israel, if you can ever go there, it's a life-changing thing. And you saw the culture in which Jesus lived. And I thought that probably Jerusalem would be my favorite place to visit because it represents, the crucifixion and a lot of things that went on. But to be honest, the part of the culture and the part that was the most touching for me was where Jesus hung out with his friends. I got to see, the fishing villages, and he hung out at the beach a lot. Like, that's my kind of guy, I'm like, man, I would have been hanging with Jesus because he was by the beach. But he hung out, he was a fisherman, he hung out, we got to see where Peter lived and Mary, his friend Mary, and I just really related to that part of Jesus and the life, because I thought this is where he hung out, this is where he taught his friends. So it actually made me feel like I love him more, knowing just how real he was and where he spent most of his time. And so what I want us to think about is how, when we really get to know him, how much more we fall in love with him. Life tempts us to stare at our lives and just glance at God. But we have such an inward focus. But the Jewish people, they don't look so much at their lives as much as they look in him. They have more of an outward, upward focus. And so what I found out was they seem to look at more of the function of God versus the form of things. So let me explain this. There's an example of Moses and the burning bush. Now, I wonder, how did that bush burn and not burn up? Do you ever think about that? How is that bush burning and not burn up? Because our focus is on, a lot of times, on the bush and the burning and not being consumed. Now, the Jews, they don't look at the bush. Why would God speak in the bush? And what was he saying to the people? Their focus is not on the bush, which is a lot of times the Western view is on that type of view. Why would God use a bush? They want to know, what was God saying? And in the Jewish culture, they're saying, God told us why he spoke. He said, I heard the cries of my people and their pain, and I'm going to send you to go do something about it. I want you to tell Pharaoh to let them go. So the Jews are concentrating on God being a God that cares about the pain of his people and how he hears the cries of the people and how he cares enough to do something about it. The function of God versus the form of God. We are a people that we know God exists. We talk about how omniscient he is, how great he is. We sing, "How great is our God." But we're not really spending the time focusing out his perspective of us and what he thinks of us and who we are in him, and for us to learn more of his character, to more of why he does things, not how he does it, but why he does it. The Jews look at the scripture not to find out more about themselves, but to find out more about the nature of God. Because you see, when you see yourself in his nature and you see yourself the way that he is, knowing his character, knowing why he said what he did, why he did what he did, and not look at it for who is it for me or what can I do, but looking at him and through his lens and his perspective, we start to see us differently. Because we're looking at him, the nature of God. He hears our pain, he answers. He sees our distress, he sends someone. So hard is that at times to get that from here into here. And to not focus on us, but to focus on him. Woe is me, how am I gonna solve this situation? How's this gonna change? I don't see any end of this. How many times we say this? I don't see any end. This is terrible. This is causing me stress and duress and anxiety. And so many times I hear even my employees saying, "I'm so full of anxiety, the medication's not even helping." Because we're focusing on inward and downward, not outward and upward. But how do we change that? You know, it's just a mindset. It's a mindset that we really need to start to work on, to get a hold of, to become more like, "God, why did you do that?" Instead of, "How was that done?" So we need to be more of a people that stare at God and not just glance at him. If I stared in a mirror long enough at myself, I'd be very depressed. You stare long enough at yourself and you're going to get depressed, because there isn't anything that I want to see inside of this girl. But if I stare on the Father and on the Son and on the Holy Spirit, the last thing I do at night, and I need to get into the routine of it being the first thing I do in the morning as well, is to let that be the last thing that goes into my spirit, is about him and about who he is and why he did what he did. So let's look at ourselves through his perspective. So let's go back to Psalm 63:7. "Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings." You know, I didn't know this until this Bible study. This is a prayer shawl. God had told the Jewish people to make a cloth and to wear it. And that on the cloth, there would be the corners with the little knots here representing the commandments of the Lord. He wanted them to remember those things, to wear it. This is called the wing. This corner here is called the wing. To dwell under the shadow of the wing. It's prayer. It's remembering the commandments. This is called the wing. The prayer shawl is called the tallit. The strands here are called the titza. And then it's to remind them, a visual reminder of the commandments. Now think about the commandments of God. Not just the Ten Commandments, but all of the commandments and the blessings that the Father has given us. So here is a visual reminder, a prayer shawl. In the Jewish synagogue, when the rabbi calls the children forward, he makes a covering for them, and he calls them up, and he brings them forward, and he blesses them, and he prays for them under the shadow of the wings. So he brings the children up, and he says a prayer of blessing every time that they meet in the synagogue, which I found was very, very meaningful, very touching, because he wanted to tell the children, you are covered under the shadow of his wings. Where do we go for help? Under the prayer blanket, under the prayer shawl, under the commandments, under those things he promises us, under the wings. Whenever we look at the book of Malachi, Malachi was the last book the prophet wrote, the written prophet, 400 years until Jesus came on the scene. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out of a pasture. For 400 years, God, they say, was silent, didn't speak, didn't have the written word, no written prophetic words, until Jesus comes on the scene. Now, the phrase, the Son of Righteousness, was used as another name for the Messiah. So they were talking about the Messiah. And what did it say? The Messiah would come with healing in his wings. Okay? Now let's fast forward. Whenever I think, you know, I wrote a lot of passion plays, and I used to love this scene with a woman with the issue of blood who would come. And she was 12 years being isolated. No one could touch her. She couldn't have any relationship with her family, with a husband. Total isolation, almost like a leper, because she hemorrhaged. So here's this woman, totally isolated for 12 years. You talk about lonely. She was like a leper, like a diseased woman. She sees Jesus. Perhaps she remembered this scripture of Malachi. The Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. What was the wing? Perhaps she remembered that scripture. So she's pushing her way through to touch just the corner of the prayer shawl. Jesus felt it go out of him, and he says, who touched me? And his disciples like, Lord, do you see there's this huge crowd? How are we supposed to know? And that woman, probably trembling, oh my goodness, am I going to get in trouble? But perhaps she knew, because the prophecy said that the Son of Righteousness would come with healing in his wings, she saw this man as a man of healing. Could he perhaps be the Messiah? If I touch the wing, will I be healed? And she was healed. The prophecy is our hope. Do we hold on to the prophecy of what Jesus said? That woman's life was changed through the healing of the wing. The Son of Righteousness will bring healing in his wings. Was that woman worthy? Did she do anything special? She did nothing special except hold on and think, could this be? Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one who's going to bring healing? If he is, I'll just touch the wing. I always thought of the wing as like a bird, not as a prayer shawl. When I was pregnant with Alyssa and I was in premature labor, and I was laying in the hospital, and my contractions were really strong, and it was 7 months. And I'm thinking, God, I don't want to deliver a premature baby. There's so many things that could go on. And the scripture came to me about the woman with the issue of blood, and I said, I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to touch your garment in the supernatural. Not in the natural. He wasn't there, but he was there. His presence was there. And I reached out, and I just began to pray. And I thought, if a nurse comes in and sees my arm out like this, she's going to wonder what in the world's going on. But at the time, I said, why am I thinking like this? I need to just hold on and believe that by touching his garment, I will be healed. And so I had a visitation of the Lord. I knew I was having a little girl. He told me her name through that experience. The next morning, I woke up. My physician came in. He's dressed to deliver this baby. And I said, Dr. Bisacco, I can't deliver this baby. I'm starving. I haven't eaten for days because I've been in labor. He said, what do you want to eat? I said, I want a full breakfast. I want eggs and bacon and toast. And he said, okay, give it to her. The nurse said, Dr. Bisacco, she's in active labor. Like, she shouldn't be eating. Because you heard her. She said she can't deliver this baby because she's hungry. So I ate the breakfast, and my labor stopped. And he said, well, this is interesting. So then came lunchtime. Labor started again. He goes, what do you want to eat? He's hanging out. I said, I just ordered a lunch. I ate again. Labor stopped. He said, well, miss, you're going to have to eat for the next 2 months. Like, that's a problem. You're going to have to keep eating and drinking because somehow your uterus is dehydrated and it's setting you into labor. Let's try it. So poor John, he's running in the middle of the night getting me stuff to eat. And carried her full term. She was due Christmas Day. She was born December 21st. And that's because her daddy had a kidney stone in the morning and she was born that night. But I truly believe that through the faith of reaching out and saying, God, please, I need your touch. He touched me. She was born fine. Well, actually, she's born with the umbilical cord wrapped around twice and tied in a knot. She should have been dead, the doctor said. But he spared her, and he spared me through that time. So I felt like I had a firsthand experience of what it was like to be the person that had to reach out and touch the garment, the healing, the wing. So I would just say to you, you know, what is your story? What is it that you need from the Lord? What touch do you need from him? Do you need to be under the shadow of his wing? There are scriptures that do talk physically about the wing, a mother hen, like a mother hen. But these scriptures are talking about prayer, about talking about being under this little corner here. I just thought that what we would do during this time is we would just allow ourselves time. And I'm going to put the prayer shawls up here. It's not that this has any supernatural power in it. It's just a representation of what the scriptures are saying. I know that many people are hurting. You cannot hurt in this society with the things that go on. I know that some of us feel like, are we worthy to receive? But listen, the Lord says, I am your help. I am your help. So we're just going to spend some time just in prayer. And if you have a need or someone that you know needs a healing. I know my dad texted right before I came saying, your mom needs a healing. Please pray for her. So I know I'm going to pray for my mom. So if there's anything that you feel like you need or someone that needs prayer, just use this time as a time to just come before the Lord and know that there is healing under his wing, that through prayer, we can trust his commandments. We can trust his word and what it says, that we can find healing. Because he is Jesus who reaches out. You know, women were so oppressed during the time of Jesus, yet he came and he showed them love and acceptance. He showed everyone how much he loves them. I just would ask, Doug, could you turn even the lights down? So let's just come and quiet ourselves before him and ponder the word of the Lord and ponder and believe in faith that he is a God that can bring healing into relationships, into finances, into physical bodies. Because he hasn't changed. He's the same. He wants you to find healing under the shadow of his wing today. Hallelujah, Father, we come before you, Lord God. The altars are open. We have anointing oil. We have prayer shawl. If you just like to cover up in the prayer shawl. There's something about it that makes you feel closer to God too. Whenever I have worn the prayer shawl, there's something about feeling covered by him. He makes it so easy, yet we make it so hard. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the revelation you give us. I thank you for the healing that you give us in your wings. I thank you that we can trust in you, a loving God, that you gave us an example of how much you love us. And when the lady left, you said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Lord God, may we take heart that you call us sons and daughters, that we are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, who would get attention of one of your servants through a bush to say, "I hear your pain. I hear the cries. I'm going to do something about it." Lord God, I thank you for showing who you are through your word and how much you care about us. May we continue, dear Lord, to seek you, to find out who you are, so that we will understand who we are because of who you are. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what we're going to see with healing that's going to occur in the lives of the people here and those that we pray for. We thank you, Lord, for being a God that listens and hears and even collects our tears in a bottle. How intimate you are with us, O God. I thank you for that. I pray a blessing upon all those that are here as they leave. May they ponder your word, knowing you go with them through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.